From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and now welcome to the world's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Heard everywhere. Open lines this hour, and in a moment, a letter that I have just received from a vampire. I shall read it to you. It's kind of chilling. Next hour, we're going soul searching with our guest, Dr. Christopher Holmes, right here on Coast to Coast. Well, you might want to go to your cupboards, your cabinets, and look at your pots and pans. A $5 billion class action lawsuit is being filed now against the DuPont Company, saying the chemical giant long failed to warn all of us about the dangers of a Teflon chemical. Two Florida law firms say they were filing the suit in federal courts in eight states on behalf of 14 people who bought and used cookware with a nonstick Teflon. It is made using an acid-type chemical known as PFOA or C8. The plaintiffs want DuPont to spend $5 billion to replace the cookware, impose a Teflon warning label, and create two funds to pay for medical monitoring and more scientific research. PFOA also is used in many other of the company's most popular products, such as auto fuel systems, firefighting foam, phone cables, computer chips, and clothing. DuPont has known for more than 20 years that Teflon product and PFOA chemical it contains causes cancer in laboratory animals, says one of the attorneys. I don't have to prove that it causes cancer. I only have to prove that DuPont lied in a massive attempt to continue selling their product. A DuPont spokesperson of the Wilmington, Delaware-based company says the company will vigorously defend itself against the allegations raised in the lawsuit. Grand juries across California have indicted 40 pilots for fraud after they falsified medical records to hide disabilities like schizophrenia and severe heart problems that would have grounded them. Now, these pilots claim to be fit to fly airplanes, but they collected disability payments for medical and psychological conditions that would have disqualified them from operating an aircraft. Authorities said that they found pilots who continued to fly even though they had disabilities, including, as I mentioned, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, drug and alcohol addiction, disabling back pain, and severe heart conditions. The indictments follow an 18-month probe of 40,000 licensed pilots in California by federal transportation officials. The FAA has revoked 14 of the pilots' licenses and medical certificates. Other 26 pilots may be suspended. Well, a story that was on Alex Jones's Printed Planet, PrisonPlanet.com website. I shall give you the latest on his report. British police are considering the possibility that the four key suspects in the recent London attacks may have been tricked into setting off their bombs. A Scotland Yard spokesman says, "We do not have hard evidence that the men were suicide bombers. It is possible that they did not intend to die. According to one police hypothesis, the bombers were tricked by some master who told them that they would have time to escape when, in fact, the devices were set to go off immediately. The bomber's master might have thought that he couldn't run the risk of the four men being caught and spilling everything to British interrogators." Lending weight to this theory is the fact that all four men had paid up their parking tickets before boarding a train at the Luton for King's Crossing, and that they all bought return tickets to the capital. Moreover, it's been reported that the men were carrying their explosives inside backpacks as opposed to strapped to their bodies, which is common practice among suicide bombers. That's on one of Alex's websites, prisonplanet.com. More than two dozen doctors walked out of one of Baghdad's busiest hospitals on Tuesday to protest what they said was abuse by Iraqi soldiers, leaving about 100 patients to fend for themselves. The physician said the trouble started when the soldiers barged into a woman's wing at a hospital, opened up curtains, conducted searches as patients lay in their beds. A 27-year-old internal medicine specialist said that a soldier began intimidating and abusing him, jabbing him with his rifle, and the doctor said, we've had enough. And 100 of them just walked out. One of the greatest newsmans that I've seen, Paul Duke, is dead. His storytelling skills and journalistic even-handedness set the tone for public television's Washington Week in Review. He's died of leukemia, Paul Duke, 78 years old. He was already a political news veteran, having worked for the Associated Press, the Wall Street Journal, and NBC in 1974 when he began his two-decade stint as the show's moderator on public television, Washington Week. Paul Duke, dead at the age of 78. Great, great newsman. China is gaining important new military capabilities from Russia and other countries, according to Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, arguing that a European arms embargo against China should be kept in place. Some members of the European Union, including France, have sought an end to the embargo. They all want to make some money off of China, which was imposed after the Chinese military crushed student protests in Tiananmen Square in 1989. A new U.S. assessment of China's military power clearly points up the reason that the president and the United States government have been urging the EU to not lift the arms embargo on the People's Republic of China. President Bush, by the way, has picked Judge John G. Roberts Jr. to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Roberts, he's 50 years old, is a conservative who currently sits on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. A former clerk to Chief Justice William Rehnquist, his name has been floated for months as a possible Bush selection for the High Court. The Space Shuttle Discovery will now fly no earlier than July 26. NASA's engineers are still trying to get to the bottom of the fuel sensor glitch that scrubbed last week's attempted blastoff. Discovery has to get airborne by the end of July, or it will lose the current window for daylight launches. And as Richard C. Hoagland has pointed out from the enterprisemission.com, this would look more like a September launch. Visa is cutting ties with the payment processing company that left 40 million credit and debit card accounts, maybe yours, vulnerable to hackers in one of the biggest breaches of consumer data security. Card System Solutions has not corrected and cannot, at this point, correct the failure to provide proper data security for Visa accounts. She said banks that issue Visa cards would have until October 31st to cease having Card Systems process payments. Strange story on the internet today. I don't believe it's true, but let me tell you a little bit about it. It says, a spy satellite image of Antarctica reveals an anomaly 2 miles beneath the ice that could be a man-made structure, according to investigators who are demanding release of the image from the Pentagon. The explosive revelation about the anomaly located at the epicenter of recent seismic activity in East Antarctica prompted an immediate denial from the Defense Department. If it's something the U.S. military has constructed down there, then they're violating the International Antarctic Treaty, said an aide to the European Parliament's French president. Nobody really knows what's going on. If it's not, then it's at least 12,000 years old, which is how long ice has covered Antarctica. That would make it the oldest man-made structure on the planet. The Pentagon should heed the calls of Congress and release whatever it's hiding. It's a great story. I don't know if it's true. It's on one of those sites that is a little more entertainment than fact, but it is a novel story nonetheless. Full moon tomorrow, by the way. Earthquake watch. You know, I made a prediction for the New Madrid Fault. We had a small one a couple days ago, but we'll just keep our eyes on it. When I come back, we'll talk about this letter I received from a vampire, and we'll have open lines. Here are the phone numbers for you. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is open at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and get ready for Coast to Coast AM. Now, earlier today, I got a letter from someone who claims to be a vampire. Before I go to calls, let me read it for you. I get a lot of emails and a lot of letters. This one is weird. Mr. Norrie, I see that you are a huge link to the outside world. Your show deals with the paranormal, and you have a large influence among your people. I am amazed by that, a mortal with powers like yours. You search for the truth, and I admire that. But the truth can be dangerous. To understand the truth, you must understand the nature of the beast. Who is the beast, and why should it be feared? Let me introduce myself. I am Arik Isaac Killen, and I am what you would call a vampire. I personally prefer the word phantasm. It would sound more exuberant. I've been around since the Civil War, and I've been protecting this world from destruction for quite a while. Think of me as Earth's surrogate mother, father, whatever. The world is an unsafe and irregular place, Mr. Norrie. God made it that way, to keep it under his fingertips, and it is very secretive. Only a selected few truly know what's going on, and to understand the vampire phenomenon, you have to look beyond Dracula, beyond Lestat, beyond time itself. We aren't new. We are not an evolution of the humans. Rather, you are the de-evolution of us. How do you know I am not merely a ranting lunatic? Good question, I ask. You can write me off as a buffoon if you like. But the truth is, if you want to find vampires, then all you have to do is look. Your government won't protect you from us. They won't. Because, let me tell you, fiends like me especially. Why? Because they make a pretty penny of my company, Killen Corporation. That is cleverly, by the way, renamed for anonymity here. My company has been around since the days of slavery on the Mississippi plantation called Velvet Hills. I made lots of money producing cotton, tobacco, and other goods, and my father may have been one of the richest men in the South. But where are the records? Are they sealed? Why would the government let that leak? They have been watching me for a long time, but they haven't a clue how to dispose of me. My power is immense, greater than any living vampire. And why is that? Because I am the Blood Angel, the greatest of all vampires, chosen to lead the vampires into a great battle over this dimension. But who cares about the details of why? You most likely want to know about my power, don't you? Since, like all mortals, power intrigues you. I, like most vampires, work under the same logic. We are connected to the Bloodstone, an ancient vampiric crowned jewel. This gives us numerous abilities. Most of them have been leaked due to movies and books. Number one, we can fly, all of us. We can read minds. We can manipulate thoughts. We can indeed turn into mist. But rarely is that done. The older and more powerful vampires can summon fire, which I do very well. And the older vampires can remote view. I can do that very well. I can see Osama bin Laden. He is in Syria, by the way. And I can also see you. I could lead you to the remains of Jimmy Hoffa. Try looking in an apartment in Brooklyn. It will lead you to him. And I also can lead you to the lost city of Atlantis. You won't believe me if I tell you. I've given you something to think about. I've told you secrets that could get me killed. You do what you want with it. But I will warn you. Your people's days are numbered, and we are in the last phase. Prepare them. That's my letter from a vampire. To the phones we go, west of the Rockies. You're on the air. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Palmdale.
That's not too far.
No.
What's up?
Just calling in to kick around an idea as far as that I had, or actually a few of us have had, in regards to trying to lower the price of gas.
Yeah, well, the only way we can do that is go to hydrogen and not even use gas.
Well, that would be the best way, but in order to manipulate the gas prices, they're doing it by just gouging us. And I think that if you were to boycott just one station, say Shell Well, I'm not saying
yeah,
so.
Yeah, but you know what? Since the 70s, when we had the Arab oil embargo and people talked about these incredible prices and why things were going up, people talked about boycotting in order to get the prices down. Never works.
Well, they didn't have the power of the internet then.
True.
And we do now. And the mass of numbers is, outweighs, you know, the few. So if you can get enough people behind it, if you get a website or if you get the media behind it, and everybody, you know, stands behind it, it will happen.
What you should do, and the only way I think it would work, is if you do a national don't drive day, and everybody just stays home if they can. But unfortunately, some people have to drive. You have to go to work. Police officers, fire department fighters, firefighters. I mean, that happens. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York.
Wonderful. What's up?
Oh, I have a story that might save some lives, and I'm kind of embarrassed about it, but the worst part of it's over. Last Monday, I was out partying by myself, and I was drinking and everything, and I was causing trouble. So a police officer had me get in a cab and go home.
Smart police officer.
I was so intoxicated that I had the cab driver drop me off around the corner. I jumped into my car.
Oh, no. You mean they didn't take your keys?
No. And about 400, 500 yards away, it's going about 30-something miles per hour, I smashed right into a tree. And lucky my car was an older Cadillac Eldorado built like a tank.
Yeah, one of those monster cars.
And I was wearing a seatbelt, and I walked away from it, and people were there to help me. And then my stumper, whatever you want to call it, I decided to walk away and, you know, try to hide. And then I got about 5 minutes away, and I was like, well, they're going to be looking for me.
And you mean stagger away, right?
Yeah, stagger. So I came back, I got arrested for DWI and leaving the scene, but I just want to tell the story because I don't want people to make the mistake I did, and I'm just lucky.
And you know what? I'm glad you got arrested.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Because now
you could have killed somebody.
Yeah. It was my car's totaled, but it's definitely a wake-up call, and I just, you know, people make mistakes, and just in the same week in my town, two people ran into trees. And
well, all right, let's hope you've learned your lesson.
Yeah.
You're human. You make mistakes, like you just said. Now learn from that. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Oh, George?
Yes, sir.
My God, I can't believe I got you. First time caller.
You made it. Where might you be?
Chicago.
Yes.
Listen, you had a program on about a month ago where you had these three fellas on a roundtable discussion on 9/11.
Yes.
And I thought that was absolutely the greatest 3 hours of radio I ever heard in my life.
Actually, I think I had four on at the time.
Well, it may have been four. And I think you said something the last couple of nights about having something similar to that in the near future. Did I remember correctly about that?
Well, tomorrow we've got Stephen Quayle on and another special guest. We're going to talk about these reports of nukes being in America. That's an important story. And I'm going to have Alex Jones on in about several weeks to talk about a specific topic, and that is, why do people believe in conspiracies?
Yeah.
9/11 may come up, but it's going to be a program on conspiracies. And every once in a while, we're going to do roundtable discussions on that and some other things, too.
I mean, that should be good tomorrow night, then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, George, thank you very much.
Okay, appreciate you being part of the program. And I think we did the cryptozoologist program on Bigfoot about a month and a half ago. So roundtable discussion, something we started about a year ago, and they've worked very effectively, and we'll continue to do that with very selective targets of programs that we would want to do. By the way, did I get the emails today about Peter Lance? Wow, I'm still looking at them. Still looking at them. You know what? Here's the one thing. Whether you agree with them or not, and many of you apparently, according to the emails, do not, just remember one thing. This is America. It's the greatest country in the world. And it's because you have the right to go on a program like this and say something the way you believe it. You may not believe it, but Peter does. And that's what makes this country great. And you take that away, and you take away every liberty that we have ever had. You take away every liberty that our soldiers have fought for since the beginning of this country. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment. We've got open lines for you for the rest of this hour. And then next hour, Dr. Christopher Holmes, as we go soul searching. Well, the phones have been ringing and the internet has been popping along as hundreds and hundreds of people have been picking up the free CD called Perfect Possession. It's an old Art Bell interview with the late Father Malachi Martin. It is available to you when you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter. A couple ways you can do that. Call 1-888-727-5505 or go online at coasttocoastam.com. Always a collector's item. Perfect Possession. Art Bell's interview with the late Father Malachi Martin.
Is there a war between heaven and hell that is constantly going on, or is it...
And now it's acute. Yeah.
Or maybe this is a dumb question, but is there any possibility that that war could ever become an all-out war, one in which the right side wouldn't win, where Earth could be lost?
I think it can get to the point that Earth can be lost for a while. It will be reclaimed.
That's just an excerpt for you. Again, you can call 1-888-727-5505 to subscribe to the After Dark newsletter or go online at coasttocoastam.com. We'll continue with your phone calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And if you want to get a head start on our guest next hour, go to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at some of the pictures that he supplied us under feature articles. Let's go to the phones. Wild card line. Get us going. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
I'm a driver in the entertainment industry, and I'm a long-time listener.
Good to have you with us.
Listening on XM. I was going to tell you about a dream I had on the morning of my birthday. I was sleeping, and I had this vivid dream of being in a basement. And in the bottom of the floor of the basement, there was this, I saw a set of rails. And there was a couple of characters that I couldn't really make out or recognize at all that were doing something on the tracks. And all of a sudden, this like a trolley car comes rolling along in the basement on these tracks, and I saw these guys run, and I said, "What the hell? You know, what are you guys doing?" You know, and like, I thought, "My God, they're doing something up to some no good or whatever." And all of a sudden, the trolley car runs over where they were at, and it blows up.
Oh my!
And engulfed in flames. And I remember it was strange. It was a dream, and I was looking in the car, and the people in the car would look like mannequins at the time. For what reason, I don't know. And then I woke up not too long after that, and we got back on the road. My wife drives the truck, too, and she called on the radio, and she said, "Did you hear what happened in London this morning?" And I said, "What?" And they bombed some subways. My birthday is July 7th.
You had that dream that night?
Well, it was like we didn't have to... do a show that next day on my birthday, so I had pulled over and slept, and I had the dream while I was sleeping, and when I got up, you know, I just got in, and we got back on the road again, and she told me on the radio, "You hear what happened in London this morning?" And it was all of a sudden the dream, I just went, "Oh my God, that's a dream I had."
Has this happened to you before?
No, I haven't really had... I think I've had maybe one or two cognitive dreams like that in my lifetime, but that one was so prominent and weird. It stood out. I remember it because it was so strange. I was in this basement. I couldn't figure out where I was at, and I saw these rails. I saw this. It looked like a trolley car, like in San Francisco, you know.
Yeah, I'm convinced that there's something out there. I always call it the wireless internet in the universe that somehow you tap into. You did, and you were able to pick those things up.
Yeah, and it really kind of blew me away when I saw that, you know, when I found out about the, you know, here I got a birthday. I'm sure people that have birthdays like on September 11th have got, you know, things to, you know, think about too, but this is going to be one for me to remember for some time.
Pretty strange that it happened like that on the birthday, too. I wonder if that had anything to do with the way this works. Maybe we'll do something. We'll open up a hotline this week on birthdays and strange dreams and see if any of them have come true. I wonder if there's any kind of parallel there. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, George. Very good to be able to get in touch
with you. Thank you, sir. Where might you be, by the way?
I'm in Hyattsville, Maryland. My name's Robert. I'm listening to WMAL AM radio.
D.C., yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you about a past guest.
Okay.
And if you got another minute, I'd like to tell you a UFO story that I experienced years ago when I was an adolescent, but it's up to y'all.
No, absolutely. If you were an analyst, of course.
Well, the question about a past person that you had on your show, he said that he was the one who was a tester for mad cow disease.
Well, it was the old farmer.
And he tested.
Howard Lyman?
You know, I really can't remember his name, but he said that he tested the cow number 80, I think it was, and they found mad cow, and then he started telling publicly about it, and they fired him or something like
that.
Right. Did you ever find out if he was on the level or not?
Oh, yeah, he's on the level. I mean, those things happen to him.
Okay.
Absolutely true.
Because, I mean, what I heard of it, which was most of it, you know, it's like you thought, you know, will I ever eat a hamburger again, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but I know you don't have the time, you know, dreams, UFO stuff. I just tried to pick one. When I was, I guess I was about 14, and it was, I guess, about 6 o'clock in the evening, and I was trying to get together and put a band together, and we were picking up a microphone stand here and this, that, and the other thing. We were driving down just a regular street near school, near a church, near a store. And I was in the back of the station wagon, and I happened to look out the window, and I saw this what appeared to be a very low-flying aircraft, because it was kind of misty and, you know, kind of twilight.
Sure.
And I saw red lights, you know. I didn't think anything of it, and then all of a sudden it banked, you know, like it was going to turn. So I figured it was going to Andrews or something. But when it turned, instead of having, like, a light on the wings and on the front and on the back, it almost appeared to be like an octagon or a circle. It was like in 8 different places. And I kind of looked, and I looked back, and I looked again, and I couldn't believe my eyes, pretty much to say. And I didn't say anything to anybody for years. I mean, it was so obvious, it was stupid. But I thought, now, why in the daytime, why doesn't everybody notice, you know, and I heard nothing about it from anywhere.
Maybe it only appeared to you.
Well, this I could not say, but it was something that is just, you know, I wasn't looking for it.
You never know. Hey, quick question about mad cow. Do you eat beef?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
So you have no concerns?
I do, you know, but sometimes I worry about everything. Sometimes I don't worry about anything.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm kind of stuck on beef. I might regret it, but according to him, it takes years, so who knows, I might be in.
You may already have it, and it hasn't popped up yet. Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you, sir.
Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
This is Roger calling from Arkansas.
All right, Roger.
I had just some food for thought on the Antarctic story.
Yeah.
I worked with a guy who was in the Navy, and he worked for Navy Intelligence. I don't know if you've seen the show Stargate.
Sure.
Atlantis.
Absolutely.
Stargate Atlantis and everything.
Yep.
Well, I've never seen it before. And it was on, and I was giving, you know, the lowdown on, you know, what actually happened, where they found Atlantis first, you know, in the Antarctic and all that. Well, he's sitting there watching it, and he goes, well, this is strange. And I said, what's strange about it? He said, somebody's leaked some information. And I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, I'm really not supposed to say anything, he said, but the Navy has secured a structure underneath the Antarctic. And he said there is computers, stuff. They still don't know how they work. And I was like, really?
Almost like it was a city in the water deep.
Yes.
or like a UFO or something.
No, it was a city. It was a complete city is what he advised.
A high-tech city.
Yeah, he said they've got computers that they still don't know how they work, and they've been there for years.
And maybe because of the frigidness of the water, you know, they didn't corrode or something like that.
I don't know, but, I mean, that's just the story that he gave me. And, I mean, he was, just to look at him, he was dead serious because, I mean, he was watching what was going on. He said, well, somebody's been leaking information to Hollywood or something. He said, because this is really close to what's actually happened.
You believe him?
I kind of do. I kind of want to. I mean, that's the, you know, you go into that situation. You want to believe somebody that tells you a story.
Yeah, we've always heard stories of soldiers, Russian and American soldiers down there in the South Pole, monitoring, watching, doing something. So who knows? Now, this particular story I read, I don't think it's real. That's my guess. But it is food for thought. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, where are you?
I'm calling from Wichita, Kansas.
Well, welcome to the program.
Thanks. I had a question. Once I had a Reiki session,
yeah.
And the gal that did it, she said that I had a lot of energy that she could sense. And then I didn't really think much about it, but I have a street light right across the street from my house, and I notice a lot of times that it goes out a lot whenever I'm outside. And the other day I was talking to my next door neighbor, and she noticed the same thing, and she mentioned it to me and said that, you know, she's out watching her kids a lot, and whenever I'll come home or be outside, she notices that the street light always goes out when I'm outside.
Well, I'm not a Reiki master, but I'll tell you, it is possible that you're giving off some kind of electromagnetic glow, something that those street lights pick up, those sensors.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that could be like, you might not be able to see it with the naked eye, but those sensors may be able to pick it up in some form of energy wave and think it's light. And, uh-huh. You know, they go on and off that way. I mean, that's possible. I've had a lot of people call this program when they're walking, you know, past these lights, they go on, they go off. I'm a little suspicious about it when they're in their cars, because I always think it's a reflection of the headlights that do this.
Yeah, I do notice it a lot when I'm in my car, but I'd never really guess. No, I noticed it at home, but yeah, my neighbor picked up on it right away.
Can you do other things? Can you make electrical things work or stop or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of, but I have had some people tell me that, you know, I've have some psychic intuitiveness, I guess.
My watch has just stopped. Yeah.
No way.
The second hand has just stopped. I don't know if the whole watch has stopped, but the second hand has just stopped.
That's really strange.
That is weird. This thing always works.
So do you think that it's anything that I should be concerned about?
Well, I don't know. I got my watch back. Oh, you mean you?
Yeah, me.
Let's start it up again. No, I don't think you should be concerned. You just may be one of those people who have a tremendous amount of energy.
Huh.
Have you been told that when you go into a room somewhere, people just say, you just light this place up?
Yeah, in fact, when your screener answered the phone, that was like, he said I was very bubbly, like right off the bat.
No, that's just Tom.
So, before he even knew what I was talking about.
Yeah,
so.
That's just Tom. Don't take it any other way. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, George.
Appreciate your call. Next up, west of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. First question is, who picks your bumper music?
We have engineers. I throw in a few. Oh. Some of the old ones that you hear are probably me, because these whippersnappers pick up all the rock stuff and things like that. But we've got a group, and, you know, on a regular basis, we'll sit down and talk about music and things. We get a lot of people who send us email recommendations. And then the staff goes off and they listen to it and they make a decision whether they want to use it or not. And then every once in a while, I'll pull a rank and I'll pull out an old song, a Roy Orbison song or something that tries to set them. But they're very good at picking music based on the topic of the night. I mean, they're aware of who the guests are and they know what to do. And Dan and Steve do an excellent job doing that.
All along, I thought you were the whippersnapper.
Yeah. I wish I were the whippersnapper.
But yeah, the reason I called is, last week sometime you had on a gentleman talking about the suitcase nukes.
Yes, Paul Williams.
Right. And it's ever since that night, it bothers me. You know,
well, we're doing an update on this tomorrow, so make sure you're listening. Okay?
You know, Art was able to get everybody together on a collective thought and redirect a tornado or whatever.
He doesn't do that anymore.
Right, but you know, we could do that.
He doesn't want me to do it anymore.
We can do that and get rid of those nukes.
Uh,
You know, it gives me a lot in the soul.
I think Art's right on this one. There are consequences with this stuff.
Right.
So we may change or alter something, and there's no doubt in my mind this works, but we don't know what we're going to do with the other reaction, the consequence, the portion of it that we don't control. I played around with this, and I think we stopped a hurricane from smashing into Florida a couple of years ago, but we moved it to some other spot, you know, and because we concentrated, don't hit Florida. Right. And then it went someplace else. Now, it also diminished in strength, but there's a danger with that. We've talked about rain on forest fires, and the next day we caused flooding.
What I'm talking about is just like giving Bin Laden a conscience.
I don't think anybody could give Bin Laden a conscience at all.
Yeah, well, apparently the Lord hasn't.
Yeah. Harry, right, thanks a lot.
All right,
appreciate it. Hey, a couple weeks ago, one of our callers, his name is UFO Phil, and I played this, I think, on a Friday night into Saturday morning. So I don't know how many of you heard this, but he sent us a song dedicated to Coast to Coast, created by UFO Phil. Pretty novel, and so I want you to be able to listen to it. If you need to email me at any time, by the way, let me get that out of the way. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. I'll be back in just a second to set the stage for next hour. Fascinating guest named Dr. Christopher Holmes. We're going to talk about some fascinating things that have to do with all of us, the soul, the heart, and just what is ticking. By the way, the farmer who was dumped because of his mad cow investigation, Dave Luthan. And I think, hold on for 1 second, Danny, before we go off. We just had a magnitude 3.3 near Mount St. Helens. So that's two in the last couple of days, three plus. And experts tell me when you have a series of three pluses, something could happen. So I pass that on. Back in a moment.